Hello, I'm April, and this is my favorite birder. We're going to talk to birders, some famous, some infamous, some new, maybe you. Great, now I sound like Dr. Seuss. Whatever. Listen, everything birds. We're going to share a lot, learn a lot, and we are going to have fun doing it. Lots of laughs. Don't hit next. Don't look for something more interesting. It's all right here, I'm telling you. Join me to find out what all the hype's about. And to get it all started with our very first episode, I'm very excited. The very first person I get to talk to with you, super stoked that he even agreed, first off. Second, that he was even able to fit me into his busy schedule, because I think some chick's been like working him like a Hebrew slave to get her podcast up and running, or I don't know, something like that, so I heard. But anyway, he's a Buckeye State native from the Lorain area, volunteers for Lights Out Cleveland. He's a bird rescuer. He was even a leader, I hear, at the biggest week in American birding and the 2018 Ohio Big Year Birder. Woot, woot, what? That's right. Joshua Ververos. He knows who he is. Whatever. You can introduce yourself.
Josh Vardos. Thank you.
How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Just lovely.
Lovely.
Loving it. Fantastic. Now you're on the hot seat.
So what do you want to, what do you want to know first? Okay. Well,
didn't you always think birds are for nerds? Joshua Vashaverse.
I love birds. Birds are cool.
They are.
No, I was never really a big fan of birds. I didn't grow up loving birds. Like a lot of birders I've met have been birding their entire lives. I am 40 years old.
Damn! No, I'm joking.
Probably started birding maybe 7-8 years ago, maybe somewhere in there. I'm not really sure.
Right. And why I say that, early onset, like, dementia, we call that. I am a nurse, but okay. Or alcoholic dementia. That's what I'm trying for.
either one.
Mm-hmm. Whatever works.
When I first started birding, I wasn't birding. I was just interested in birds. Bird watching, as I, you know, there's a big difference between bird watching and birding. But
when did you? Like, well, how did you years, start bird I really watching? Didn't,
yeah. How did I start?
Yeah.
My son was small, so I don't know, four years old or so, I don't know, something like that. And we set up some bird feeders in the backyard, and he had a little bird book, and he'd sit in the window and he'd look at the feeders, try and ID the birds. And one day he says to me, "Hey, Dad, I don't know what this bird is. Can you help me figure it out?" And I went over and I looked and I said, "I don't know what that bird is. I've never seen it. I've lived in Lorain my entire life. I have no idea what that bird is." So we looked it up and it was a dark-eyed junco, which now I know is an insanely common bird.
Yes. Well, in winter, correct.
Never seen one before. And I don't think you'd really notice them unless you had bird feeders around normally, you know, growing up. You might not even pay. I didn't pay attention to birds. Here,
right.
So.
Me either.
I didn't know blue jays and cardinals.
I had no idea.
Doves.
I didn't either.
I didn't even know what a house finch was. So, but, yeah, so we used to take the kid out geocaching all the time. Just a way to get outdoors and go hiking or whatever. So we'd go geocaching. It
okay, well, now, since I don't know what geocaching was, what's geocaching?
Oh, geocaching.
I mean, probably it's everyone else knows. I don't have an idea. Well, yeah. What's
it's probably still a thing, but I haven't done it in a long time. But people hide little containers filled with trinkets and a notepad and a pencil in them, and they hide them somewhere out in the world, and they use a GPS location for them, so they geotag like the location of where they hit it. They upload it to a website. There's like an app you can use to look for for geocaches in your area or near you, and they'll tell you the GPS location, and then you'd punch it in and go look for it and, you know, walk around like a treasure hunt and try and find it.
Super cool.
It gets you to the location, but then you have to find it because it's hidden, right? And then you open it up and sign the log with your name and date or where you're from or whatever. And if there's a trinket in there, you can take one, but the rule is take one, leave one. So it was just something we would do with the kid. Like I said, just to get out walking, going to nature centers, whatever. But those walks eventually turned into counting every bird we saw instead. So when we would go out, and this is before I knew anything about listing, you know, I didn't know anything about birding. So we just kept lists of any time we went out on these walks, and we would count every species we'd see or try to figure them out. And it wasn't until I ran into a lady locally here in Lorain at Spitz and Marina, the Lorain Impoundment. And I was walking around looking at, you know, waterfowl. And she says, "Oh, you guys like birds?" "Oh, yes." And she says, "If you really like, really into birds, check out this place in May during spring migration. It's called McGee Marsh." I'm like, "Okay, cool." Didn't really think nothing of it. I looked it up and it seemed like a cool place. So we went in May. Little did we know there was this biggest week in American birding going on. The festival was happening one day we decided to show up there. And we find the boardwalk. We step on the boardwalk, and within 30 feet, we had like 30 new life birds that we'd never seen. All these tropical species, our little migrants. I mean, everybody knows about McGee Marsh. And it just blew us away. We didn't know. I was hooked that moment. And yeah, I went face first into birding, trying to see as much as I could, every bird, trying to learn everything. And that's kind of how it began. And then, you know, you meet people locally and you make friends, and now you have friends that are birding with you, so you can get out more often. And I don't know, that's exactly how it started. Thanks to somebody telling me to, you know, visit McGee Marsh in the middle of May.
Yeah, I had heard about it on Instagram. I didn't know what it was. Well, and I called it McGee. Yeah, I think, mm-hmm. I'm sure I pronounced it
different. Maggie Marsh.
Maggie Marsh. Yeah, that, I must have said Maggie. Because I'm like, "Oh, yeah, okay, Maggie, whatever." And everyone was like, "Oh, you live in Ohio?" You know, on Instagram. "Have you been there?" And I'm like, "No, I don't know what that is." And, yeah, first time I went, I was like, "Oh, my God, it's insane." And people from all over the world, which, yeah, super cool. Birds, like, right there dripping off the trees. Super cool. I loved
it.
Well,
I think what really made an impression on us was the day we showed up was just one of those perfect days where all the birds came down that day. They were all, it was like, I always say, it was like a Disney movie. There were birds everywhere, all around me. And I didn't know I didn't know what was going on. It was too much to take in. It was just one of those perfect days. And I've only seen a couple of those days where the birds are just, like you said, dripping from the trees.
Yeah.
But this one, I don't think has been topped, that first day I ever went, because it was kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
I can't remember what year that was. I wish I did, but I'd have to go back and look at old notes and find out, you know, pre-eBird.
Pictures, yeah. So, well, warblers, because some people, I know I was out at dinner with my cousin Tuesday, and I'm like, "Oh, yeah, you know what, McGee and the warblers," and then he's like, "What's a warbler?" And I'm like a bird, you know, like a songbird, a little migrant, whatever. I'm like, bright colored most of the time. I don't know. I'm like, but some of them just, oh my God, I'm trying to think of the orange and black one. It looks so beautiful, whatever it's called. What is that one?
The Blackburnian?
Yeah, him. He's gorgeous. I should put a picture of him. He's beautiful.
Seems to be a lot of people's favorite warbler.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if he's my favorite, striking. But he's
strikingly
striking.
Colored.
In real life, I mean, to see him, I'm like, holy wow. He's beautiful, beautiful bird. And the warblers, so they only pass through Ohio? Or do they stay to nest? mostly?
Well, we have a handful of nesters in Ohio. Yellow, Prothonotary.
Yellow rump. Butterbutts.
We have cerulean in places. It's very rare in Ohio, but there's a place near me. Perula will nest in Ohio. I'm trying to think of it.
Oh, those are so beautiful too. Those are the ones with the little different colors.
Cerulean is by far one of my favorites. Black and white is just one of the coolest warblers ever. But I mean, that's the attraction with warblers. They come in such a variety of colors. Everyone has their favorite. There's just so many, and they, you know, not just their colors, but their the way that they, you know, the way they forage, the way they act, their personalities are different. Their songs, of course, are all different. So learning warblers is a pain. And, you know, when I first started birding, it was, I stayed away from, waterfowl. I didn't, you know, I slowly picked categories.
The ducks.
Warblers first.
Like, now, waterfowl learned all that. Is
like,
just
I stayed
ducks.
Away from ducks.
Okay.
I thought that was too complicated. I stayed away from shorebirds. I thought that was insanely crazy.
Yes.
You know, I stayed away from all these things. And I slowly, like every year, I decided to learn one category and dive into it deeper and get a better, you know, instead of just taking photos and asking people what these things were all the time or taking their word for it while we're standing around looking at scopes, I actually spent each summer working on my ID skills for each different type of category.
Well, and that's how now you lead bird walks, correct?
Yeah, I started last year was my first year guiding at Biggest Week. I just thought that I did a big year in 2018 in the state of Ohio. And I thought, you know, there aren't a whole ton of local guides at Biggest Week. I mean, this is not a knock on Biggest Week whatsoever. I love Black Swamp. They're fantastic.
Right.
And that festival is absolutely amazing. And all the guides that come are absolutely amazing. But they don't know, like, the ins and outs of what's being seen right now, what's local, where to go. You know, like,
right.
We know the secret spots, you know. we know what's currently being seen and where. So I've been volunteering for Biggest Week for a few years prior, just doing some administrative stuff, working at the registration desk, you know, helping out in any way I could just because I want to. It's, you know, it's here. It's in Ohio. It's my home. It's not my hometown. It's an hour away from me. But I spent the past 3 or 4 years doing that, just meeting people, and it was fun. But I wanted to be out birding during Biggest Week. So
definitely,
I kind of said I threw my hat in the ring, like, I'll give it a shot. You know, I'll drive some buses or some vans and see what we can find. And I did it last year. It was fantastic. Everybody that was on my trips were completely amazing. It was, you know, they asked a ton of questions. They were interested in everything Ohio or me or birds that are here that they've never seen, that, you know, somebody from, you know, state of Washington looking for, you know, something that's not in their neighborhood there. And, you know, they're just being blown away by like a red-bellied woodpecker, you know, and I'm just like, that's so cool. Like, they're just, you know, flipping out over things we have normally here.
Right.
We can take for
granted some of our regular visitors to the feeders.
Yeah, it's just,
totally.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It kept things, like, people wanted to see a tufted titmouse, and I'm like, well, I got you. Let me show you right here. I'll take you right to one right now. And just seeing them, you know, really absorbed in this one bird that's so common for us, you know, in the rest of the state, and they live somewhere in the country that does not have them. So it's just really, really cool. I'm surely do the same thing whenever I've been out of state, but, you know, some things you don't think of it that way, like the simple ones, you know.
Right. Oh, definitely.
That are insanely common. Yeah.
We take them, well, I take them for granted that everyone has those. Or even where I live, I say, oh, everybody sees that all the time. Who cares, you know?
Oh, and, like cardinals, you know, there's certain stuff that are not everywhere. But it was really awesome. I can't wait to lead some trips again this year.
Now you did Lights Out Cleveland, which, since this is our first big podcast and the interview, people don't know, some may, but can you say even just briefly what Lights Out Cleveland is?
Sure. Lights Out Cleveland started a couple years back. They monitor the windows or buildings downtown Cleveland, and they monitor window strikes spring and fall. I think it's like 6 weeks spring, 6 weeks in the fall. And they have a group of people that are armed with nets and bags, and they document, you know, where these window strikes are happening, what side of the buildings, things like that, just to get a better idea, like where the trouble areas are. And they've tried to get a lot of the buildings in downtown Cleveland to pledge their support to keep their lights off at night during these 6 weeks in spring, 6 weeks fall, to help limit the window strikes when these birds are migrating and they come down. Cleveland's on the shoreline of Lake Erie, so you know when the birds are migrating past, if it's that time of day where they're coming down. Birds don't belong in a city, you know, they belong right in nature, not man-made stuff. So there's a lot of birds that we pick up dead, and there's a lot of birds that have been rescued as well, which is an amazing. I don't have the numbers, but I know last year
this ain't no quiz. Don't worry, we ain't doing no math test right now for the numbers, I mean. Yeah. But, yeah, it is amazing because I never realized that birds hit buildings like that so much, or the glass, that they can't see it or registered or whatever. They see the light at night and think it's a star or whatever it is. Yeah.
Big problem with these buildings is the reflective glass. It's such a pretty aesthetic to most of these big buildings, but the reflective glass is just a mirror, and these birds have no difference. So they're looking at, they think they're flying through the sky.
Right.
Or a big open lobby, like atrium, that's glassed in. They think they can go in there, and they hit windows. But then again, there's birds like woodcocks that just have no idea where they are in a city. And it's just so weird to walk around and see them flying around.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Cleveland, and they're looking for where do I go? They have nowhere to go, and they get hit by cars, or they fly themselves into windows, into sides of buildings. It's awful. I volunteered with them. I wish I could spend more time volunteering with them. I just, you know, working 9 to 5, and then trying to dedicate weekends to birding or volunteering. And in spring, it's really tough because there's so much going on with migration. And
right.
I try to help out as much as I can. So big ups to Lake Erie Science and Nature Center, Nature and Science Center, in Bay Village, right outside of Cleveland, who have taken this on what they've started has grown into just in a couple of years has expanded so much for so many volunteers now. It's a really good thing to see.
That's awesome.
There's a lot of information and data they can use from that. So helping the birds that, that they can save, and then getting the information or taking the species that have died, they transfer them to, you know, museums and Cleveland Nature and Science Museum, whatever it is, I forget the name of it. So, and they can hand out all of these birds and dissect them and do lots of things, send them to colleges or whatever, you know, there's a lot they can learn from these birds. And it's fantastic, fantastic program. I highly recommend if anybody doesn't have anything like that in their area and they live in a big city,
start that stuff.
To at least look into it or start something up on your own.
Right.
Window strikes are a big problem.
Right. And I never knew that. I mean, obviously, there's a ton I don't know. Yes, I'm not that birder. I'm loving birds and I like going out birding, but I'm still learning. But yeah, I never knew until probably last year what a problem it was for window strikes. I had no idea. I thought it was just like, oh, that bird flew into the window. You know, why did it do that? But yeah, I had no clue. And it's very, Tim's doing a great job there and everybody else will have him on the show, I'm sure. Hopefully.
Yeah, I'm sure he will.
The strikes, what else have you rescued? I know we have our Janice, which she'll be a regular feature. But what rescue
Janice
stands out in your mind?
Rescuer extraordinaire.
Right, Wonder Woman. I'm going to have like a little theme. Well, I probably will get sued then. I can't do that. It's copywritten. We'll have to do a different one. Never mind. I didn't just say Wonder Woman. Whatever it is. Yes. Rescuer extraordinaire.
She is the Wonder Woman of rescuing birds in this area. She's like on call 24/7 to rescue birds in this area and outside the area too. She's driven hours away. There's not a lot of rehab centers around. They are pretty few and far between.
Right.
In Ohio, especially along the lakeshore. And Janice literally rescues everything under the sun.
Hey, I'm impressed with the geese. I mean, this episode. Look, those Canada geese, and I always said Canadian. Tim corrected me, fair weather. Mm-hmm. He's like, they're Canada. And I'm like, oh, okay, I thought they're Canadian. He's like, they don't have citizenship. I'm like, whatever. So Canada geese. But yeah, I'd be scared to death grabbing some of that. I've seen her. Yeah, she just fearless.
I had a Canada goose in my car the other day. I had my wife hold it and it was spazzing out while I'm trying to drive. I didn't have my crate on me and I was pretty far from home. So we just wrapped him up and tucked him under our arms and held him in the car.
Aww.
But, you know, we pick a, you know, if you're into birds and nature and wildlife and you care about these things, when you see an injured animal, I would hope, you know, 100% of people pick it up and rescue it or call somebody to do something.
Right. Or at least call someone.
Yeah. Definitely. And I get a lot of calls for that because everybody, all my friends know I love birds. So
I try to
help as much as I can. I've rescued a lot of gulls. I'm on the lake, you know, gulls freeze, gulls get botulism, gulls, you know, they hit by cars. People seem to be a problem nowadays. People running through parking lots to scare the gulls because it's so much fun to do. I don't see how it's fun.
Yeah.
But
I'm trying to keep it a clean podcast, but that gets me fired up. I can't stand that. And they don't realize that just driving through and making them fly up, they're expending that energy. You know what I mean? I see... Mm-hmm. Older people do it too, well, like running into the gulls to make them fly up. It's like, what? Oh my God.
Well, I mean, if somebody's walking their dog, I'm not going to run up to their dog and try and scare
right.
it away. I don't know why. I did it as a kid on the beach. You know, you go scare the gulls. I try to talk to people when I'm out there, like, please don't scare the gulls. Let them be.
Right.
They're part of nature. You wouldn't do this to any other animal. I don't understand why you do it to this one. So.
Right. Well, hopefully this will be some education for those that don't know better and they'll do better once they hear it. Who knows? We can only hope. So for a weird fact, there's a segment we're going to call Flippin' the Bird. And it's not that
okay.
kind of bird. But a fact about a bird or something cool about a bird that people probably don't know that aren't birders or into birds. Like things that when we found out, we were like, what? Get out of here. I didn't know that. So do you have a flippin' the bird?
Well, there's a lot of crazy things about birds that people don't know or I've learned that seem really cool or wild. I think one thing that people... I think what's really interesting is people know that birds migrate south for the winter, but what about the birds that stay here? We have birds that live here year round. They don't migrate.
Right.
For example, blue jays. We have blue jays in our backyard all year round. but some blue jays migrate. Crazy enough. I don't know how or why, but there is some split of in the blue jay family where some of them migrate and some of them don't. And I think that's really, it's, you know, migration is probably the most interesting in the world to me as far as birds are concerned. But it's just, I thought that was a cool fact.
Yeah.
You know,
some are like
blue jays.
Bump
some do,
y'all,
some don't.
I'm out.
Same with Canada geese. Like some do, some don't. You know, we have migrants, and it's weird where I don't know if they grow up in that. They're born to migrate, you know, and their families migrate together. That if you're born into the migration family, or you're born into I'm just cool right here family.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they think, hey, it's getting cold. Forget this. I'm following those other birds. I'm out.
I would. There's no
I would.
In Ohio throughout the winter.
Although I'm still an Ohio resident at this point. But yeah, I would too.
These birds are crazy to stick out these winters.
It is. It's terrible. Especially on the lake. Way worse.
Right.
Way worse.
Absolutely.
Right. Anything else that you want to say? Get the word out.
No,
do
thanks.
Something. Or...
Thanks for having me on. I'm really excited for your podcast. So I hope, you know, more people are listening in and tuning in. And, you know, I'm a big fan of what you're doing. I think sharing birds with everyone is... one, it's a great hobby. You get out in the nature and you're getting in touch with the real world and just detaching from everyday life and, you know, work. Birding as a hobby is just a fantastic, in so many ways, it's just a fantastic hobby.
It's a huge stress reliever for me. And it's nice to see how everything's connected. You know what I mean? Like why birds matter and, you know, all those things, how it's all like intertwined. I think people mm-hmm. need to see that too. To see that everything
yep.
they do has an effect on everything. But
absolutely.
Thank you, Joshua Rose.
You're welcome so much. Thank you.
You know, I'm always going to mess up your name. Thanks for joining us for the first ever episode of My Favorite Birder. Please hit subscribe so you don't miss future episodes, and I will see you out birdin'.